Chapter 88. The Aegean explorer crept close to the shoreline, then abruptly wheeled about and headed out to sea at its same plodding pace. A thin, insulated cable stretched taut off its stern, disappearing below the surface. 50 meters beyond, the cable tugged at a small, cigar-shaped towfish that glided through the water a few feet above the seafloor. A pair of transducers on the towfish sent sound waves bouncing off the bottom, then recorded their timed rate of return. Processors on board the ship converted the sonar signals to a visual image, providing a simulated picture of the floor's contours. Seated on the ship's bridge, Pitt studied a video monitor of the sonar images, watching an undulating, rock-strewn bottom scroll by. Standing nearby, Giordino took a break from staring over Pitt's shoulders and gazed over at the beachfront with a pair of binoculars. "Enjoying the scenery?" Gunn asked. "Could be better," Giordino replied. "Although it is enhanced by a pair of lovely young ladies seeking refuge from the sun in a sea cave." The beach off Pizuri was a narrow strip of sand backed by high cliffs, atop which sat its namesake village. Though popular with the British servicemen stationed at the nearby base of Akrotiri, the beach was still one of the quieter ones along the southern coast. "It looks like we'll soon be running out of beachfront real estate," Giordino noted as the ship slowly worked its way east while conducting the grid survey.
"Then that can only mean that we're getting close to the wreck," Pitt replied optimistically.
As if responding to his prophecy, the Pizuri wreck appeared on the screen a few minutes later. Giordino and Gunn crowded around as the image unfolded on the monitor. Far from appearing like an actual ship, the site was little more than an elongated mound, with small sections of the keel and frame exposed by the shifting sands. That even that much remained of the 1,700-year-old ship was a miracle in itself.
"It certainly presents the image of an old wreck," Gunn said. "It's the only wreck we've found off Pizuri, so it must be Perlmutter's 4th-century ship," Giordino said. "I'm surprised it wasn't closer to shore, though," he added, noting that they were nearly a half mile from the beach.
"You have to remember that the Mediterranean was a bit shallower 2,000 years ago," Gunn said.
"That would explain its position," he replied.
"Are we going to dive it up?" he asked, turning to Pitt.
Pitt shook his head.
"No need to. First, it's already been picked clean. And second, it's not our wreck."
"How can you be so sure?" Gunn asked.
"Summer called. She and Dirk saw the artifact exhibit at the Limassol Museum. The archaeologists who excavated her are certain it is not a Roman galley. Dirk believes it could be a secondary pirate vessel involved with the attack on the Romans. It might be worth a dive later on, but Summer indicated that it had been pretty well plundered before the archaeologists got to it."
"So we use this as a starting point?" Gunn asked.
"It's the best data point we've got," Pitt replied with a nod. "If the pirate ship came ashore here and wrecked, we can only hope that the Roman vessel is somewhere in the neighborhood." Giordino took a seat near the monitor and tried to get comfortable.
"Well, let's keep searching then," he remarked. "As the man said, Rome wasn't built in a day."